I'm Marcy Finkelstein. We're in the final hour of the Tuesday morning show. And every week at this time, I have a segment I'm calling Words in Music, where we talk to artists who have new releases about the albums. It's a way of letting them share their music, even though they can't tour in this pandemic. And up now is Elizabeth Cook. As you'll hear, she's been on quite a wild ride the past couple years. Her new album is called Aftermath, and it's interesting to me because in recent weeks I've interviewed a number of women whose new albums focused on taking control of their lives, and you'll be hearing from them in the coming weeks. It includes Laura Marling, Mary Chapin Carpenter, and Elizabeth. And we started our conversation, I had read where she said that this was the first time she had been, as she put it, completely unchained, and I asked her what she meant by that. And what were her chains?
Knowing that, you know, like in the moment that I'm in right now, so the reviews are starting to pour in just like the last 24 hours, and they're just keeping on coming. So you read what people have to say about your work, and they send that out for a whole lot of other people to consume as well. So it's a sensitive moment. So you worry about what people are going to think. You worry that, oh, this crew's going to be mad at me for not being country enough. This crew's going to shun me because I'm too country and too twangy. And on this one, I feel like I'm standing very solidly in my voice and was not concerned about those things. I was confident in what I was writing and that I was getting it across.
So what allowed you to do that this time? You say it's the first time and you've put out a number of records.
Yeah, I think the gradual trust of the industry, for one thing. But in terms of just my own inner, how I was able to, I think because of maturity, the passage of time, the richer my perspective is on things. All those things were coming home to roost. And I know that I'm got a long way to go in life and will learn and grow more and have more tragedies and more ups and downs and all those things. So I hope to just get better and better at putting that into my music.
The press about your album said that you created it following a period of significant loss and pain. Do you mind talking about what that was all about?
Yeah, sure. So in 2010, I put out a record called Welder. And it was going really well. It was kind of a little bit of a breakthrough for me. And then I got asked to be on the David Letterman show. And then I got like TV deals, sitcoms with CBS. My life was just on a freight train. And I was splitting time between Nashville and LA. And my daddy got sick and he died. And then my mother-in-law died. And my father-in-law died. And then my brother died and my brother-in-law died. And the farm burned down, and my sister got a divorce, and I got a divorce. And those things happened like in 3-month burst. So something that would happen that might set you back a couple of years, they came in such a dense period of time. So I guess it left me reeling. You know, I thought I was okay, but I was not as okay as I thought I was. And, you know, I lost a lot of weight and was still under a lot of pressure to be in the public eye here and there. And it was Americana week. And I went there and I had a day where I had a lot of responsibilities and I had stress and I had things to celebrate. And I mixed too many substances that weren't good. And people noticed that at an award show. And man, the rumors and the things that fly and how people will hang you in the social town square. I was fodder of gossip and rumors for a lot of the community. So I just really went in a hole. And out of that, I managed to get out to write Exodus of Venus and get that out. But I was very ill on the promotional tour for that album, like misdiagnosed and heavily medicated on a bad psych med that was also killing me. So surviving rehab, surviving then that journey of trying to get a handle on your mental and emotional health led me to finally, so I got out of a bad relationship and I started writing this record. And that was the early 2018.
Those losses you experienced, that's monumental. That would set anyone back. But then on top of that, people for imposing their own perceptions of you onto you, that must be far worse.
Well, it was part of the reason what happened at the award show happened, because it was the Americana conference. And at the beginning of the week, I had gone to the Hardworking American, Todd Snyder's band, their movie preview at the Belcourt Theater. I had a tour manager driving me, and I had other things to do. And I popped in, saw those guys, saw the beginning of the Q&A in the movie, and then I was driven to the five spot where I was dropped off to my boyfriend. And then we went home, and that was the events of the night. But my assistant called me the next morning, or it was actually my ex-assistant at that point, but she was back in town, and she called me, and she was so upset. And she said, "What is going on?" Because we were very close. And I was, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "Well, I was standing in line behind these two ladies last night, and they said that you and Todd Snyder ransacked the Belcourt Theater, stole $3,000 worth of concessions, puked in the trash cans, and left." And that did not happen. Nowhere even near. I don't know how that was created in someone's mind. But sometimes people have just a residing jealousy in their dark little corner of their soul, and given an opportunity and a moment to express their insecurities, will start that kind of stuff. And it near about killed me. Yeah, the next day I was just mortified to go to the Ryman. I was real skinny in my dress. I mean, it just was not a good moment for me. And I definitely needed help. I did not need to be institutionalized, but that happened, and that was another trauma.
I've interviewed Todd Snyder about the difference between the onstage persona and the real person. And it sounds like people confuse the two.
Yeah, totally. It's part of the extension of the entertainment value of your presence in their ether. So they do that. But it can bring out a dark side in folks. And that perception was affecting my opportunities, like my label, my manager. Everybody lost trust in me. Nobody would believe a word I said about what I had for breakfast. It was like I was losing my mind, because all of a sudden I went from someone that was owning a home and owning a business to someone that I was looked at like some sort of patient of Courtney Love, and having an intervention on me, and all that unfair stuff. And so, yeah, people can do that. And maybe to some extent, we have to accept that and let it be, because you need to keep some things for yourself, parts of your life that nobody knows about and that aren't up for discussion.
How did you manage to come through to the point that you could make more records, do your radio show, do interviews, reveal parts of yourself?
I finally got properly medicated. Well, what happened was the heavy psych med that I was on, I knew was I was in a state of panic and suicidal, like, compulsions, and not able to talk. So I was kind of zombie, but all that was going on. And I felt like it was killing me. My skin, my hair, my nails, my muscles, everything was eroding under this heavy chemical psych med. So I just started weaning myself off of it very slowly. You know, I told my boyfriend at the time I was doing that. He didn't like it. Then I sort of woke up and was more present and aware and able to fend for myself a little bit. And that led to conflict, because I was no longer walking dead. So I got out of that. So at some point, just a survival instinct kicked in to get off that med. And then that got me eventually out of the relationship that wasn't good. And then I just kept waking up like from a bad dream, and began to start to have room for a little bit of joy and some positive inputs, and have some space, and started writing for the new record. Just had to get my legs back under me.
Well, let's talk about the new record. Specifically, I wanted to talk about the song Perfect Girls of Pop. Because one of the things you say, oh, all the perfect girls of pop, they sing so sweetly like they've never been hurt before. So aren't you making assumptions about them?
Well, yeah, totally. But I know this much, they are not liberated to express their reality in their music. And it's a little bit, it makes the music a little bit of a farce to me, because I have some kind of, and this is on me, but I have some kind of real, I don't know what the right word is, but some sort of holy hold on the idea that it is absolutely essential to be really earnest and real because music's like my community service. I'm trying to help deliver people from ideas and thoughts and events and people in their life through my experience. I just consider that like a calling and almost sacrilegious in music to do anything else, which is not fair because people need shallow pop music to listen to on a long drive or whatever, and I do. But yeah, I was singing about that, and I was singing about my younger self that was trying to be a perfect girl of pop, and I was failing miserably at the industry, big record labels that I was on. They could just not get with my quirky kind of cutting lyrics, and yeah, it was way too much. So I was looking back at my younger self that was trying to do that and how unrealistic that was for me.
It seems like a lot of songwriters these days are talking about what they see as the inauthenticity, particularly of pop country radio.
Yeah, it's just really oversimplified. And to me, that's sort of the sin of it. It's not speaking to in any real meaningful way besides what kind of beer and truck and beat you like to an audience where music is such a powerful vessel and can really move people and really have an impact on people. I just think it's a disservice. I think it's a disservice to country people. Country music used to be deeper. It had more melody, more variety, more specific voices. It was funneling people's blues. It was funneling people's strife and struggles. It just wasn't all about a koozie and a cup and a girl in a, you know, in a pickup with a barbecue stain. It wasn't white noise. If you compare what's on the radio now to like Willie Nelson lyrics, Willie Nelson is writing the Odyssey. You know, it's so much deeper, yet it's Whiskey River, Take My Mind. It's, you know, speaking the same language, but not used in the same way.
Calling your album Aftermath makes sense. You're talking about the aftermath of all this that happened, but apparently there's another meaning to the word.
So I learned that in agricultural terms, aftermath is, say, a swath of land had burned, and then there's a moment where the things start to pop back up out of the soil, those initial regrowths, and oftentimes that will be cut back into the soil to nourish it so that then you can really grow something. It's not over. It's a point in the process of recovery, but it's not done.
Play that way until you get to shine.